So today, it's good to see that all of you are very focused and very intent on practicing meditation for the whole day. The reason you do this and the goal of practicing meditation is to make the mind peaceful and to make the mind quiet. And this really what developing meditation is, working to make the mind quiet, because the nature of the mind, the way it usually is, it's always following its moods, following all its different emotions, all the feelings that comes up in it. It follows these and gets lost in all these thoughts and emotions. So what we need to have is what's called in Pali called sati and sampajanya. Sati is mindfulness, and sampajanya is all around knowing all phenomena. At this point in time, we still don't have enough sati or sampajanya to know the moods and emotion that are within the mind at all time. And what happens is when we don't have this mindfulness and clear knowing, we end up attaching to all these moods and emotions, and we start to form a sense of self and thinking these emotions are us and that are ourselves. And this, in effect, is the cause of the suffering that is within our lives. The Buddha found the way out of this suffering and found the way to get out of this suffering. And he understood why suffering arises. And what he found was the cause of all suffering is what we call itta-paccaya, or paticca-samuppada. He saw that all the different factors that were the cause of suffering, all it has different you could say links in the chain, and at the source of all our suffering is avijja or ignorance. So the Buddha found this way and the way out of suffering, and he knew and he understood clearly the way to end all suffering. And when he had discovered this truth, this is what made his mind pure and radiant. And this is what brought ultimate purity to his mind. So just a minute ago when we did the chanting, one of the chants we did was an inspired utterance after the Buddha became enlightened, where we said anekatati samsara. This is what the Buddha proclaimed after he gained enlightenment, and what this means is. What the meaning of that chant is that he had wandered through samsara and had been born and died so many times. And when he found the cause of this and the way out, and this was his last life now, after he had gained enlightenment to this truth. So what we need to do is practice accordingly to what the Buddha found and what he understood, and the path of practice that he laid out. We should have mindfulness all throughout the day and in every activity that we're doing. It's not just when you're sitting and walking meditation, it's all the activities that you're doing. Especially things like when we're doing the chanting, one should keep one's mind with the chanting. And what we're actually doing when we're chanting is developing mindfulness. We recollect the qualities of the Buddha, we recollect the qualities of the Dhamma and the Sangha. This is what's called Bhutanusati or Dhammanusati, Sanghanusati, mindfulness on the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. And we do things like walking meditation, and we do this to change our posture and to keep our meditation and our mindfulness continuous throughout the day. This is the most important thing, to always keep your mindfulness continuous in every activity that you're doing. Because the more one does this, it's like tiny drops of water falling out of a jug. If those at the start it's just like tiny drops, one drop, two drop, and it's very sporadic. But eventually the more water is poured out, the more of a stream of water is poured out. And it becomes a flowing stream. So mindfulness is like this. At the start, we just have a few little drops here and there, but eventually it'll turn into a continuous stream of mindfulness. So when our mindfulness is continuous like this at all points in time, it will start to be able to keep up with all these different moods and emotions that we have within the mind, and it will understand these moods and emotions more. And when we can do this, when we can learn to keep our mindfulness at all times throughout the days, no matter what activity we're doing, whether we're walking around, whether we're doing something normal, or whether we're practicing formal meditation, this is the point. This is where you start to really truly understand what the practice is. You'll truly understand what the path of practice is to see the Dhamma. So for all of us now, right now we're in the forest. This is a very, very good opportunity for us to bring our mindfulness inside, to understand our own mind a lot more. So all of us practicing here, all of us, we have to practice according to the Dhamma to eventually be able to see the Dhamma. We have to practice according to Dhamma to see what the Buddha really saw. You have to practice according to the Dhamma. And what was it that the Buddha actually saw? The Buddha saw and understood and realized Nibbana. And what the literal meaning of Nibbana means in the Pali language, it means like the coolness or a flame going out. You'll start to understand when one's mind is overrun with different feelings and emotions, especially the feelings and emotions of greed, of hatred and delusion. This brings about a certain heat or a certain element of fire to the heart. But Nibbana, what that means is this fire eventually of the heart of greed, hatred and delusion going out. The more one practices according to the Dhamma, the less greed, hatred and delusion appears within the heart, and this heat and this fire starts to go out. And the more it starts to go out, the more this coolness arises within the heart. So we need to try and put out this fire of greed, hatred and delusion at all times. Because the reason greed, hatred and delusion comes about is because when our internal senses come in contact with the outer senses, with things in the outside world, the sights, smells, sounds, tastes, all these different kinds of things. And when we can do this, and when we understand that this what this contact is and how it brings about this greed, hatred and delusion, if we really understand and we have mindfulness, and if one truly actually knows Nibbana, the mind will always be cool, even though it's contacting with these different things from the outside world. It's like the example that Ajahn Chah used to give about a lemon being bitter. If Lumpa Chah would always ask, we all sort of know that a lemon is meant to be something that's bitter, but Lumpa Chah would ask people, he's like, you know, is a lemon really truly, is it really bitter? The only way that you can know that is by taste, getting the lemon and putting it on your tongue, and that's when a bitter sensation arises. If you don't put your tongue on the lemon, there'll be no bitterness arising at that point in time. So these things that we experience, this sweetness, sour, bitterness, all these kinds of things, these things depend on contact, the body coming into contact with the senses, or the mind coming in contact with mental objects. When we come in contact with these things, this gives rise to liking and disliking, craving and attachment. So if we can develop enough mindfulness, and our mindfulness is strong enough, our mind will be able to keep up with this constant barrage of contact that's coming in contact with the body and the mind at all times, and we'll be able to understand it and eventually let go. So, but for now, for most of us, it's hard for us to keep up with all this constant contact that we're coming in contact with. When we sit down, we try to practice meditation, our mind is still, it races all over the place. It goes to good things sometimes, it goes to bad things sometimes. And this is the mind coming in contact with mental objects. So, but if we, the more we can develop mindfulness and the more we can keep mindfulness at this point of contact, we will start to understand and know that all these things we come in contact with, they just simply arise and then they pass away. There's no inherent self in them. There's no me seeing this, or there's no me hearing this. There's just this arising and passing of contact. The more we understand this, the more this coolness will arise in the heart, and the coolness will arise temporarily, because the mind will start to see this temporarily. And if we do have a lot of, if our practice is very, very, really well developed at this point in time, we can see this arising and passing away, and Nibbana can temporarily arise at that point in time. The more we do this, the more wisdom we will develop, the more we do this. We start to see through these all these things that we come in contact with, and we start to see them and know and understand that these things, they're simply conventions of reality. There's no true self to them. There's no real meaning behind these things. And when the mind realizes that these things are simply just conventions, the mind becomes temporarily released from suffering. And when it does reach this point, the mind realizes a new level of emptiness, one that we haven't ever experienced before, one that's a very, very deep, very profound sense of emptiness. We call this Niramita Sukha. What this means is it's a happiness from the release, a happiness coming from the temporary release from suffering. So this is a stage that's later on down the track, but for now what we're doing things like doing dana, giving to people, keeping our morality, whether it's the 5 precepts or the 8 precepts. The novices come along and they're keeping the 10 precepts now, and this brings about a very wholesome kind of happiness, and it brings about contentment within our mind. And it's what we're doing here is we're developing a lot of merit as well, you know. And this brings about this happiness and this contentment to the mind. Like, you know, when we chant sometimes, and we're doing the chanting, maybe we do Itipiso, recollecting the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. We might do it 3 times, 7 times, 9 times. If we do this, this can bring about a wonderful sense of happiness within the mind. And we're practicing meditation as well, and this is bringing about an even deeper kind of happiness. So when we can develop our meditation a lot more, and we can keep our mindfulness continuous throughout the day, this brings about a very, very deep, very profound kind of happiness. The reason we develop this mindfulness, try to keep this mindfulness continuous throughout the day, is to keep our mind stable and not let it get pulled by the different moods and emotions that we experience on a day-to-day basis, and not have it moved by the contact that we're experiencing as well. If we can do this and keep our mindfulness continuous at all times, this is a very, very good kind of merit that we're doing. You could say one of the highest kinds of merit that we're doing. If we do this, if we keep our mindfulness like this, this brings about an even better kind of happiness that we get from anything else. A deeper kind of happiness, a more profound kind of happiness. Because this comes from, this is a happiness that is coming from the mind that is quiet and peaceful. When it is in that state, the mind will just simply know the breath coming in and know the breath coming out. And when one is more proficient at it, and the mind becomes more and more quiet, different phenomena will start to arise at that point in time, different experiences. So for example, like it could feel like your hands have started to disappear, your whole arms have started to disappear, your legs, and then the whole body feels like that it's disappeared and there's no more body there anymore. And it can feel like one is starting to float up into the air, feel very light and very, very, very fluffy, like cotton or something. When one does start to experience these good these good results from the practice and this and the happiness that arises from meditation. This is what starts to give one true faith within the Buddha and faith within the Buddha and what he was teaching. When the mind has this calm and this concentration and it has this stability of the mind, when we investigate all the phenomena that we encounter as anicca, dukkha, anatta, as impermanent, suffering and not self, when we do this with a calm and concentrated mind, we start to really understand truly what this is and how this works. Beforehand, we had an intellectual understanding of what impermanent suffering and not self was, but we didn't truly deeply understand it. But now, because the mind's calm, we understand it at a very deep level. We start to understand that all these things that we encounter in the world are merely just conventions. You can understand this on one level of just say, for example, like a glass. In English, you know, we call it a glass. In Thai, it's another word. In another language, it's another word. You know, for example, the forest. You know, in one language, it's one word. In one language, it's another word. We have all these different labels for all these different things. You know, we go into the forest and we see a beautiful surrounding. We see a nice view, and you know, it's okay to see these things, but one always has to be trying to develop this seeing and knowing of conventions and understanding conventions that these things are merely just conventions of reality. We have to try to understand them according to their true inherent quality, which is impermanent suffering and not self. Everything is subjected to that, and this is the true nature of everything in the world. In reality, all this phenomena that is around in the world and in both inside us and outside of us, it's all empty. It's mere emptiness. In reality, there's no names for these things. This is just phenomena arising and passing away. When we see this, when we truly see this and truly understand this, what will arise is called vimutti, a temporary vimutti. Vimutti means release. We'll be able to see when this vimutti arises, we will truly see clearly at that point in time, and there'll be no more doubts about that this is the truth. When this experience arises, maybe it arises for many days. Many days at a time, and if this does happen, this is something that is one of the most highest benefits in life. It will give us more happiness than anything that we've ever experienced within our lives. There's nothing more valuable than actually seeing and understanding impermanent suffering and not self, truly understanding it to that deep level. When we understand it to that deep level. Our faith becomes unwavering. It's so strong at that point. There's nothing that could shake us from their faith within the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So for all of us that have come here now, we're only here for a few days. You only have a short time to practice. So put in as much effort as you can in the practice. And if you never know, even though it is a short time, in that time you could actually see the Dharma that I'm talking about here at the moment. And when you do see this, the mind will become very, very cool and very quiet. The more one practices meditation, the more results will come about. The more happiness you will have within your life. So don't just confine your practice to here when you come to the monastery. You know, do this when you go home as well. You have to keep up this practice every day. Do as much, keep your mindfulness throughout the day. Do formal meditation when you can. And the more you do it, the more the mind will progress. It will go up higher and higher levels. And the higher the mind goes up in these levels, the more accumulated merit or the more barami that we say that one has. If one builds their merit up to that point, this is the point where you'll start to see Nirvana. And all this springs from having mindfulness throughout the day. So you have to understand that Nibbana is not something that's far away from us, or it's off in some other place. It's always, Nibbana is something that's always actually close by, and it's always within our hearts. All of us, you know, we want to see things like, we want to see Devadas, we want to see Brahmas, we want to see Nibbana. But all these things, we actually see them within our own mind. So the mind is the most important thing. When the mind becomes pure and it becomes radiant, This is when one sees the Dharma, and it all occurs within the mind. But if you let the mind go, and if you let it get overtaken by greed, hatred, and delusion, the mind will start to become very dark, and it will be pulled down by these oppressive moods and emotions. So what you need to do is you really need to keep your morality and to keep your mind as human as you possibly can. If you don't keep your morality, your mind will actually get darker, and it'll drop down to the level of, say, like an animal or any of the beings in the lower levels. And if you let your mind drop down into these levels, then you can't see the Dharma. You don't have the opportunity to do that. So all of us, we're quite fortunate. We've been born as humans. A lot of us are coming to the world as humans. But it's very hard to be born as a human. Even though you might see a lot of humans, the population of the world is at its highest, and there's most that it's ever been. But in reality, the mind of these beings that are around at the moment, although their body is a human, their mind truly isn't human. So the more we practice morality, the more our mind becomes human. And when both our body and our mind become human, This is where we can actually listen to and understand and to see the Dharma. Like, you can take the example from the time of the Buddha, is Anantapindika, the wealthy merchant of in the Buddha's time. He went and he listened to the Buddha the first time, and he took many of his followers to listen to the Dharma of the Buddha for the first time. And at that first time, many of them attained to the first level of enlightenment. And you can see in the time of the Buddha, there was many different people that just went and listened to the Buddha once, and they attained full enlightenment. So you might ask, you know, why not me? I'm sitting here, I'm listening to the Dharma. Why haven't I become enlightened yet? I've listened to the Dharma, I've read lots, I've done lots of things. Why still hasn't it happened for me? The reason this is because we don't have enough accumulated good merit yet to actually break through and to see the Dharma. So this isn't a reason to get discouraged or an excuse to get discouraged. What we have to do, all that means is we just have to keep building more merit and to do more good wholesome things, and eventually we will get there. The way we develop on the path, the way that we develop for the path to eventually gain enlightenment is to develop morality, concentration, and wisdom. Always be practicing along these three very, very important aspects of the practice. Do this and investigate impermanence, suffering, and not self. Do this as much as you possibly can, and this will get you closer to the final goal. The more you do this, the more one will have wisdom, and the more closer you'll be getting to your goal. When wisdom becomes very strong and becomes very developed, the insight into these truths of anicca, dukkha, anatta starts to become more clear, and they arise at more frequent times. So it all starts from practicing this as much as you possibly can. So this all starts from practicing within the realms of the four foundations of mindfulness, be it within investigating within the body, the feelings, the mind, or the dhammas. You need to do this a lot and to understand phenomena as it truly is, and keep your mindfulness at all points in time. And once you can keep your mindfulness all the time, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, doesn't matter, you'll be practicing it at all points in time. When you can keep mindfulness for a long period of time and keep it continuous, when you do go to actually do formal meditation or sit meditation or walk meditation, you'll find that your mind becomes calm very, very easily. At the start, when we first start to practice meditation, it's very hard to develop calm. maybe you sit for half an hour and it's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of pain in the body and the mind's running all over the place and you can't seem to do it. But when this mindfulness becomes continuous and it becomes better, it's a lot easier to make the mind calm very quickly. The more you can do this and the more solid this foundation gets of making the mind calm, you'll start to see how Nibbana will be able to arise within the future for you. And it will be able to come about in like a temporary Nibbana in a temporary sense. So if we can do this is good. This will get us to eventually to the final goal. But at the first level, what we need to do is to really need to learn to keep mindfulness within the framework of our body and the framework of these four foundations of mindfulness. You can do things like seeing the body as just merely elements, and when the practice becomes strong, when you see the body just as merely elements, you can see that it's inherently empty as well, and the mind does become released to one point. You'll understand that when the body actually dies, it's not me or this sense of self that's dying. It's merely just the physical elements of the body dying and breaking apart and passing away. When you understand this, you'll understand that the body is simply just a body, and you'll understand your inner body, and you'll understand all the forms outside, other people's bodies, all the forms outside. You'll understand that these things are just something that is arising and passing away. And when the mind is really strong and it really truly understands this is where the mind becomes truly empty, and it sees through to this temporary enlightenment. And the more one does this, the more this will happen, and happen in longer periods. So when the practice is at this level, it is always continuous. And what we say is, at this point in time, all the path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path, they gather together. And at this point, one truly understands and one truly breaks through all conventions. Before, it was just happening temporarily. But when this path gathers together, this is truly understanding, and there's no going back from this. One truly sees the Dhamma at this point, and this is a permanent seeing of the Dhamma. You'll see the Dhamma and understand it, and you'll see the Buddha at that point in time. There's no need for one to go and see the physical Buddha or to go to India or anything. This will arise within your heart, right wherever you are, whether you're in Australia or whatever country you're in, it won't matter, because this knowing will be within your heart. This knowledge will always be with you as well. This understanding, you'll have it at all times. There'll be no time that you won't be without it. At this point in time you would have broken through all craving and all clinging to all things outside in the outside world. And this is the point where you truly destroy avijja, or ignorance within the mind. But all this starts from doing things that you're doing right now, is doing charitable giving, keeping morality, practicing meditation. The more one does this, the more one has faith within the Buddha Dharma Sangha, and the more one has faith within one's own practice. And the more you do, the better results you will get. The more you do, the more results you will get, and the better your practice will become. And the better one's practice will become, one will eventually see this either temporarily enlightened or the final permanent enlightenment. One will be getting closer and closer to those goals. So at this, I would like to give my Anumodana to all of you that have come here, especially the novices that have come here and have taken ordination for this period of time. And also to you all as well, the lay people that have come here to practice at the start of this monastery, Bodhisattva Monastery. This is a great way to pay respects to the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. So all of you, keep this faith up and keep your practice up. Even though you're only here for a short time, when you go home, keep this practice up and keep it continuous at all times. And eventually one day you'll understand enlightenment that I've been talking about here, and one day you'll truly see the Dharma.